Okay, tonight I'm going to share on something I'm calling It All Begins With The Thought. Kind of a unique title. As y'all know, I've been sharing on the heart. You know, the past few times I've been sharing. We've looked at some records. A couple weeks ago, we looked at Joseph. We also looked at Jonah. Two men of God who have quite literally stood the test of time. Even Jonah, with his reluctance to obey God's commands. God is so good, and within his word are incredible lessons that we can utilize and put forth in our own lives time and time and time again. And you know what I was thinking? I was thinking something not too long ago. I was thinking, gosh, we sure look at similar subjects, similar records quite repetitively. But you know what? If we stopped, then we would just forget all about it. I mean, that's just the human nature. So tonight we're gonna continue with this thread of the heart. But I wanted to look at something else that kind of goes along with it, and that's the thought. Our thoughts, right? Everything begins with the thought. Before there is an action, there's a thought. Before there's a word spoken, there's a thought. Before there's obedience or even disobedience, like Jonah, faith or fear, love or hatred, victory or defeat, there is a thought. Okay? The battlefield of the Christian life is often not in the circumstances around us, but in the thoughts within us. And you know what the enemy knows? He knows that if he can influence our thinking, he can influence our living. And I see that time and time again. All you have to do is walk down the street, and you'll see that in action, good or bad. But God knows that if he can transform our thinking through his word, he can transform our lives. Okay? And it says in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, we'll start there tonight. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Interesting, right? Basically, what occupies our minds will eventually shape our character. We become what we consistently meditate upon. If we consistently think on bitterness, bitterness will eventually come out in our words and in our actions. If we dwell on fear, fear will govern our decisions. But here's the important part. But if we fill our minds with the Lord Jesus Christ, God's love, God's truth, God's promises, his holiness, and the list goes on and on and on, then Christ will be seen in our lives, right? Because the enemy often doesn't begin by trying to destroy someone overnight. He begins with a thought, a suggestion, a temptation, a lie, a doubt, something along those lines, a seed planted in the mind. And if that thought is entertained, it grows. And if it's fed, it becomes stronger. And if it's acted upon, game over. It can become sin, right? So that's why we have to be careful with what we allow in our minds. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 15. This is Jesus Christ, and he teaches us something in here. Matthew 15, verse 18, Jesus said, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things with which defile a man." I mean, it's incredible, right? Notice that Jesus mentions evil thoughts before many outward sins, if you will. Because the outward act begins with the inward thought, right? You can't act unless you think. And it happens really, really quickly. You know, long before you act, you think, right? Before you act, you think. That's why you always hear people say, make sure you think before you speak, think before you act, think before you make a decision, right? Because it's so true. If your thoughts are in line with what God says, then your actions will follow suit. Everything begins with a thought. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul gives us this instruction. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought, not just the obvious sinful thoughts, right? Every thought. Paul says our thoughts are to be brought into captivity. That means our thoughts are not to rule us. We are to rule our thoughts through the power of Christ. We don't simply accept every thought that enters the mind as though it belongs there, right? Not every thought comes from God. Some thoughts are from the flesh. I would say most thoughts come from the flesh. And that's a common thing in human nature and in human beings, right? Some come from the enemy, because that's where he latches on to first. Many come from the influence of the world. And just because a thought enters your mind, that doesn't mean you have to entertain it, right? You can reject it. You can replace it. You can surrender it to the Father. You know, the devil may knock at your door. The devil may knock at the door of your mind, but you don't have to invite him in for dinner. you know, because God calls us to think differently. Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. The command is to think. God is interested in what occupies the mind. Are they true? Are our thoughts true? Are they honest? Are they pure? Are they lovely? Do they honor Christ? Many believers want victory over sin while allowing their minds to feast upon everything that opposes God. I've been there, and I'm sure you have too. Everybody has. We cannot continually feed our minds with ungodliness and expect to produce godliness. Okay? Our minds become gardens, right? Whatever we plant will eventually grow. If we plant the Word of God, guess what follows? Faith. Faith grows. And if we plant worldly influences, oh Lord, carnality will grow. If we plant bitterness, resentment grows. If we plant praise, joy grows. If we plant Christ, most importantly, Christ-likeness grows. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. You all know this verse. You can quote it standing on your head, riding on a tricycle backwards down a hill. I don't know why I always like to say that, but these verses that we see time and time and time again are so true, just as they were thousands of years ago when they were first recorded in God's Word. They still hold true today. Romans 12, 2. How could this not be more true than it is? And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I like to bring up the fact that I work in the industry of the theater, and the theater has become a very carnal place, okay? A very natural industry, well, not natural in the godly sense, but natural in the mankind sense. They promote things such as gender confusion, homosexuality, you know, things of that nature. Anything that goes against what God says, that's what the theater stands for. It's sad but true, because this is an industry that I genuinely love, and I believe in the power of storytelling, and it's an art form. But sadly, it's been taken over by ungodly folks, people that are lost. But the point is that transformation begins with a renewed mind. God changes us from the inside out. The world says, change your behavior, right? Do what you feel like doing. Do what you feel on the inside, and you'll be accepted. But God's word says, let me change your mind. When our thinking changes through God's word, our behavior naturally begins to follow. Because the Christian life is not merely behavior modification. It's a heart transformation. It's mind renewal. It's becoming more like Christ every single day. Think about the Lord Jesus, right? His mind was always centered upon his Father. His thoughts, his motives, his words, his actions. I mean, you name it. All of these things were centered upon doing the Father's will. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And that's a pretty powerful statement. God is not merely asking us to initiate or imitate Christ externally. He's inviting us to possess the mind of Christ, to think as Christ thinks, to value what Christ values, to love what Christ loves, to desire the will of the Father above everything else. One of the greatest examples of guarding the mind is found in Joseph. We looked at this 2 weeks ago, right? Joseph was a man who was hated by his own brothers, sold into slavery, left for dead. So many things were traumatized upon him. But you know what? Through it all, God watched out for him. And he made sure that his thoughts and his heart were guarded and protected. And that starts with the thought. it's unimaginable to be hated by your own blood family, let alone to be tossed into a pit, left for dead, sold into slavery. And then your brothers go ahead and tell your father that you've died. You're not coming back. I mean, how cruel. What do you think that can do to somebody's thoughts and their heart? You know, from the surface, you know, we could almost assume that Joseph would most certainly want to take revenge against his brothers. But we know, long story short, that that's not what happened, right? He forgave them. He chose to take care of them and give them a place of safety during the famine, right? Isn't that incredible? And then, of course, he asked to bring bring the others with them as well. I mean, it's just a remarkable record of guarding the heart and your thoughts. I could go on and on forever here, but I want to kind of close out here in Mark 12, verse 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Notice that Jesus Christ included the mind. You know, God desires more than our attendance, more than just our service, more than just our words. He desires our thoughts, right? So may our minds become places where Christ is welcome and a place where Christ dwells. May we leave this truth firmly planted within us. It all begins with the thought. So let every thought be measured by the Word of God, surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, and let the Spirit move you until our thinking reflects the Heavenly Father. until our words honor our Lord and Savior, until our lives resemble Christ as much as they can, and until God receives all the glory. Gracious Heavenly Father, you are so kind to us all. We just ask that you continue to help us stay steadfast, keep our hearts guarded, keep our thoughts on you, Father. Without you, life would be pretty awful. But you know better, Father. You know how to do all that stuff better than us. But we're up for the challenge. We thank you and give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus Christ's name.